Today, central banks in Wonderland. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. Well, in a mega week for central bank news, after the seminal but small rise from the Bank of Japan into positive territory for the first time in 8 years, the all options on the table, no change from the RBA, the hold from the Bank of England, the surprise 0.25% cut from the Swiss National Bank, the first such reduction for one of the world's 10 most traded currencies since the pandemic abated, we finally got the full Monty from the Fed with another no change decision. Officials decided unanimously to leave the benchmark federal funds rate in the range of 5.25 to 5.5%, the highest, of course, since 2001, for a fifth straight meeting. Policymakers signal they remain on track to cut rates this year for the first time since March 2020, but they now see maybe just three reductions in 2025, down from four forecast in December, based on the median projection. And actually, it's worth remembering that the dot plot represents the 15 individual options, not a consensus view, and a small change in views could have taken the count down to two hikes this year. In fact, 10 officials saw three or more quarter point cuts this year, while nine anticipated two or fewer. The Fed's post-meeting statement was nearly identical to January's, maintaining the guidance that rate cuts won't be appropriate until officials have more confidence that inflation is coming sustainably towards their 2% target. And Chair Jerome Powell, speaking to reporters after the Fed's decision on Wednesday, confirmed again that the 2% target is indeed still in place. And he also demurred when asked whether officials would lower rates at their coming meetings in May or June, repeating that the first reduction would be likely, quote, at some point this year. And he also said the Fed saw the risk balance between inflation and slowing growth. And he shrugged off recent data showing an uptick in inflation in recent months, saying it's still likely in most people's view that we will achieve that confidence and there will be rate cuts, but of course unspecific as to when. Powell said higher than expected inflation figures at the start of the year didn't change the broader story that price gains were slowing on a sometimes bumpy road. And at the same time, the data didn't add confidence and policymakers are still seeking greater assurance that inflation is indeed moving closer to the Fed's 2% goal. It's going to be a bumpy ride, Powell said. We're consistently saying that. Now we have the bumps. Powell was asked if he wanted to push back on the easing of broad financial conditions that has come to the stock market rally. And he didn't. Policymakers also lifted slightly their forecast for where they see rates settling over the long term, boosting their median estimate to 2.6% from 2.5%, following speculation from economists that higher rates may persist in the post-pandemic environment. The change implies rates will need to stay higher for longer in the future. In fact, the longer dot plots also show some increase in the committee's expectations of the neutral short-term interest rate, the so-called R-star. The significance for this for investors and traders is the overnight rate isn't likely to go back to zero, unless, of course, we get another enormous calamity. Policymakers updated their projections for inflation and economic growth for 2024, raising their forecast for underlying inflation to 2.6% from 2.4% and boosting the growth forecast to 2.1% from 1.4%. And they also lowered their employment rate projection slightly to 4% from 4.1% in 2024. The Federal Open Market Committee also reiterated its intention to continue reducing its balance sheet by as much as $95 billion per month. So as a result, bonds gained and stocks rallied to fresh record highs on Wednesday. The gains extended into Asia trading on Thursday, with the benchmark Asia Pacific MSCI index enjoying its best day in more than 4 months, and the ASX in Australia was also up. The dollar dropped for a second day on Thursday weakening against its group of 10 peers. The yen led currency gains after a Nikkei report said investors were speculating the Bank of Japan's next hike would be in July or October. Australia's dollar strengthened following better-than-expected jobs data, which I covered in a separate report. The key reason for all of this is that while the Fed stuck with its projections for 3 interest rate cuts later this year, policymakers also raised their economic growth expectations and lowered unemployment forecasts, a formula which could fuel the soft landing narrative that, of course, stock markets love. And in addition, the Fed put was back. As Powell said, if the economy weakened, this would drive towards rate cuts, even if inflation was still a bit hot, despite also holding to the 2% target as a long-term objective. Markets, of course, loved this. Traders have a long history of hearing what they want when it comes to the Fed, and that led them to underestimate how far the central bank would go after the rate hike cycle began in 2022, and then to prematurely bet on a rapid about-face once the economy snapped under the impact. But reflect on this. It seems Fed governors are no better at predicting the future than the rest of us. As Bloomberg's John Authors points out, if you take long term as to mean 4 years into the future, at no point has the Fed funds rate been where the FOMC predicted it. It stayed far lower than expected throughout the post-crisis decade and then exploded higher, although the governors can be forgiven for not predicting the pandemic. And 2.5% was as high as the rate ever reached in the pre-COVID years. It's unlikely, though, to fall very far in the future, no matter what the FOMC thinks now. The recent poor inflation numbers have only nudged the governors a little in the hawkish direction. It will take more of a pickup in prices to jolt enough members away from 3 cuts this year. So I guess if you're confident inflation is really coming down, then fill your boots with stocks. But if you're not so confident, then maybe buy gold. But more importantly, standing back, central bankers are actually trying to explain what they can't explain very well and are also reacting to the data which is still coming in. I guess my problem is this. If you are over-reliant on the data as it comes in, and we know that sometimes the data wobbles around the bit, then how are you going to make good decisions? Maybe the whole philosophy and approach that central banks have adopted over the last couple of years are actually the problem. Maybe it's deeply flawed, and that doesn't bode well for what's going to happen next. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.